ask if there's anybody in the hallway that wants to.
Yeah,
no, no, no. You don't get spiritual. We already are. You don't have to worry about getting.
I like your owl.
Okay, you can touch it.
It's
great.
Not my hands are wet.
So. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jay Stennett, and I'm a grateful member of this fellowship.
Hey, Jay.
And welcome to our meditation and spiritual workshop. It's a delight to be here. Probably the only thing that I like to talk about as much as AA is about the spiritual path. Now, they're the same deal. But just for this morning, I'm going to show you some stuff that's kind of fun. And it's, I like to say that the pray and meditate the way you drank and used. Just try stuff. See where you end up. You know? And, yeah, you can't do this stuff wrong. And over time, what's happened is I've learned some things. Hey! So I'm gonna share them with you. We're gonna do the awareness exercise. I'm gonna teach you the awareness exercise, and before that, I'm gonna talk about a couple of fun things. First of all, I came to you on the second day of May in 1979, so I've been at this for a while, and. I fell in with a group called the 11th Step Group in Manhattan Beach, California, that's been going since 1948. So they got a little experience. And my wife's sponsor is one of my teachers, and I've been going to workshops and doing stuff. I think that it's important. I was taught when there was a book called the Either Or Bookstore in Hermosa Beach, California, that was a bookstore where beatniks bought books. That's how long it had been around. Really, really cool place. And the tradition where I was when you got to be 90 days sober, your sponsor would take you down to this bookstore, and he would walk you around, or she would walk you around, and show you the different types of, because they had all of it. They had Buddhism, and they had Taoism, and they had Christianity, and they had this, and they had that, and the thing about this bookstore is they owned all the books, which is weird, but you could actually pull them down, sit down in a chair, and read. It was just great, and so find something that speaks to you. So I was taught to always have the side of my bed a big book, 12 and 12, and then some other non-conference approved literature, okay? And there are some great, there's just all kinds of great ones, and one of these days I'm going to write a list just for fun. But one that was very, very good early on was a book called The Feminine Face of God. What? You gotta stretch it. So, before we start this morning, how many of you have a meditative practice? Oh. Okay. Well, then, that just changed the workshop altogether. That's really fun. Bunch of fellow travelers. Okay. So, one of the things that I've found that's quite fun is let's do a 3-minute meditation just to kind of drop in, and as opposed to my friend Matthew, I've been doing this a while, so I don't pay attention to the timer, So it'll be about 3 minutes, might be 2:48, might be 3:20, and then what we'll do is. Then I'm going to teach you a fun thing, a fun exercise that I've found. Then we'll do another 3-minute meditation, and then after that, I'll teach you the awareness exercise, which is a great gateway into the thing. So, So let's just get comfortable, and everybody's caffeinated, everybody's here. So nice to see you guys. It's always fun when there's more people in the jacuzzi, isn't it? It's a spiritual jacuzzi, you know? Yeah. So one of the things that I learned, I don't know, about 15 years ago, a guy, well, we were leading a retreat up in Colorado, and this guy was leading the meditation in the morning. And he taught me this really fun thing to do to make myself present to start the meditation. And what we're going to do is we're going to drop our chin to our chest 4 times, okay? Slowly. And now, let's bring our left ear down to our left shoulder. 4 times. Some of us carry a lot of tension in our neck. Now let's take our head and drop it back as far as we can drop it comfortably. I know you can't believe this, but let's drop our right ear to our right shoulder. And then let's take our chins and just turn our head towards the wall to the left 4 times. And then we'll do the same thing to the right. And then drop your chin to your chest and circle your head around to the left and all the way around 4 times. And then the last instruction is to do the same thing to the right. So let's do another three. Thank you. So did you see how much clearer the meditation was after doing the exercise with your head? I like to say it's like recalibrating the gyroscope. Any time that I take that extra couple of minutes and invest it in doing that simple exercise, it's amazing how much clearer my meditation is. So now all this stuff I'm sharing with you, It's what I have found. The idea is for you to find what works for you. The whole thing about the spirituality of the 12-step movement is that what we're doing is we're just trying stuff. You make an experiment. Now, what's an experiment? An experiment is that I have a hypothesis. I think that this is, and I'm going to do certain things. I'm going to follow a recipe and see what the result is, right? So if I'm going to have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I got to go through the stuff. Well, it's the same thing with the meditative process. You know, you try stuff, and if you try it for 3 weeks. Now, I'm going to teach you something that my friend Lee taught me, and this is called the awareness exercise. And we are all designed to be able to be in communion with whatever it is that created us. And we have an antenna, we have a faculty that's beyond our normal senses. And it's called the awareness faculty. And why it is that we aren't taught when we're young to do it, I have no idea, but that's just one of the things in Western culture that has not been something that we've been taught to do. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to get comfortable, okay? And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to put your awareness on your left knee. Now I want you to really concentrate on your left knee. Really bring it. I mean, intently focus on your left knee. Now I want you to shift your awareness to your right elbow. Bring it. Focus. Intently. Now, what happened to your left knee? So open your eyes. So see, we can shift our awareness to any spot at any time, okay? Now, I don't know about you guys, but occasionally I'm in situations where there are people that are acting inappropriately in front of me, right? I'm engaged with different folks, and so if I can move my awareness in my body, then I can also move my awareness of my consciousness at any time. Okay, so what I want you to do now is I want you to close your eyes, and for the purpose of this, we're going to decide that there's two pieces of us. There's the I am, which is that one that we're all part of. And then there's J. And I want you to go up into your skull. And I want you to go inside of your skull. I want you to go to the very top of your brain, in that place between your brain and the bone. I want you to bring your awareness there. Now, for some folks, it's a little easier to go up, maybe an inch above your cranium, into the crown chakra. Some folks, maybe it's a little bit easier to go to the back of the skull. But in that space in there, you can feel a separation. As I start to look down at myself, the J, and let's just go up to the top of our head again, and let's look down through our skull. Down our neck. Just in our mind's eye. Down our throat. And into our heart space. And let's just spend a minute running back and forth, bringing the energy from the top of our head through our skull, relax our jaw, down our neck, and into our heart space. Let's take the elevator back up. Heart. Neck. Our jaw. Up to the top of our head. Let's go down one more time. And then back up to the top. And as we look down from this I am space into our personal sense, let's very softly, inside of our own, silently, say, be still. And then go down just maybe a quarter inch and know. And then let's drop a little bit further. And I am. Let's bring our awareness, slowly repeating this, down into our heart space. It'll take a couple of minutes. But actually feel each part of your body, each part of your head. Be still. And know. Into our nose and our nostrils, into our ears. Be still. Now into our mouths. Feel the sensation of the air. Be still. Into our throats. still. Finally, let's drop into our hearts. Thank you. So this technique, if you felt the separation, the observer, if you will, if you get a relationship with that, and it's just done with practice, anytime, anywhere, in any situation that you're in, you can pop into the observer. And you don't have to be stuck in whatever it is that you're stuck in. Three dimensions to four. Bang. If you try this exercise for 3 months, and you can take it all the way down through your body, down to your feet and back up. Be a 20-minute, 30-minute, 40-minute meditation. You get a relationship with this part of you, the I am part. You can pop into it in any situation. You do that every day for 90 days, your life will change in a radical manner. It's just an experiment. There's a website. It's the number 3 minutes, plural, of silence.org. And on it, there's a wheel. And on that wheel, there's a dozen different symbols. It's a dozen different ways to meditate. And my teacher and I put that website together. On there, there's an infinity symbol. And the infinity symbol is an 8 that's laid on its side. If you click on that, my friend Dulcie is doing a form of this meditation. It's 10 minutes. You can just pop into it, and it's a marvelous, marvelous practice. Now, the other thing that I'd like to really urge you to do is, how many of you live with another person. Okay, cool. So, and how many of you have a pet that don't live with another person or do? Okay, so in our literature it says, if circumstances warrant. Has anybody here ever had a warrant? Fairly serious thing, right? Okay. Circumstances warrant, we invite our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. Now, there's something that happens when two people meditate that's more powerful than one person meditates. And so I really, really highly recommend that you try meditating with other people in your household. When I was single and my daughter would come and visit me, she'd hold my timer. Okay. Later on, she'd ring the chimes. But something happens if you happen to be in a relationship with somebody. One of the things that we've found, and there's a my wife and I actually wrote a book called Loving Sober, a field guide to spiritual intimacy. And you can go on and you can go into iTunes or you can go to lovingsober.com and you can download it for free because we wanted it to be a gift. And in it, there's a section on spiritual intimacy. And one of the things that we found is that if you sit and touch your loved one while you're meditating for 3 minutes, the day is entirely different than when you don't. And again, this is just an experiment. If you got roommates, you don't have to touch your roommate. Unless it's a touching roommate situation. which is a whole meditation in itself. But, I digress. But the fun thing is see how your household works when you sit and meditate for 5 minutes together. Because all roommate situations are a little stressful, right? I mean, if they just act a little bit better, everything would be fine. But if you sit and meditate together, it's incredible the difference that'll happen in that day. So try it for a couple days, then stop. Don't do it. And see the difference. And so that's the thing, is that this spiritual path that we're on, because we're all going to be sober forever, right? So we get to try a bunch of stuff. And you can't do it wrong. So the last thing I'd like to do is just invite, if anybody's got any questions or anything, I'd be delighted to share my experience. Yes.
All right, so from deep meditation and all, maybe I'm seeking an answer from God for his will. How do I know when I'm meditating that he's speaking to me?
Oh, okay, cool. Everybody hear the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is, I got to do this for the tape anyway, right? Throw something at me if I don't remember. Okay? The question is, how do I know whether it's the voice of God or just my mind when I'm in deep meditation? So, anybody think that my mind's too busy to meditate? Or, well, it's not. Nobody in this room. But maybe you have some sponsees who would tell you that. Well, my mind's too busy. I've got ADDQP. My thing on that is, do you think Bill and Bob didn't? I mean, those guys were really toasted. Have you read their stories in the book? I mean, these guys were fried. And they came up with a technique, or they were taught a technique in the Oxford group called How to Listen. Okay? And what you do is that you get a pen and a piece of paper. Now, also on that website, number 3, minutesofsilence.org, at the 7 o'clock hour, the infinity symbols on the 3 o'clock hour, at the 7 o'clock hour is the symbol of initiatives of change. And in that, There's a a technique called how to listen. It's the Oxford Group form of meditation, and it's very, very easy. And what you do is you get your coffee, right? And they said that a symphony never plays until it warms up. And all that we're doing in the morning when we're meditating is we're just warming up, okay? And their deal was, again, that we're all designed to be able to be in communication with whatever this power is. They called it Jesus. They called it God, because that was their training and understanding. But it works for anybody with any type of faith or no faith. This is a great thing. I'm an atheist. Okay, well, here, try this. And so what you do is that you sit quietly. And you ask specifically for direction. If you got a problem, you ask, you know, I want. And then you always have a piece of paper and a pen. My Oxford Group friends, they all carry. I'm a member of Initiatives of Change, which is the current day thing of the OG, and they always carry a little book, a pen with them, and they'll sit and. And what you do is that you write down every thought that comes in your mind. Every thought. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, holy thoughts, unholy thought. Even when you think, oh, I'm just thinking. In fact, I'm not sure we're going to, tomorrow morning I'll teach this. We'll do this method together. Okay? We'll do this method together tomorrow morning. Because it's been a great joy to me. But so what happens is that you write down everything that comes, and then you do what's there, because people will come across your mind. You'll remember something. You might remember a right that needs to be wronged. You might remember. Something to do. You know, something that you ought to do. Might be something at work. Might be something at your home. But you write it all down. Now, the thing is whether I know that it's the voice of God or not. Well, what we do is that we in the Oxford Group they called it checking, and you would get together with a couple people. And you'd say, well, this is what my guidance was today. And they'd say, that sounds pretty good, or that doesn't sound very good. But you can check yourself, because all you need to do is, does what is down here, if you have a question about it, how does it match up with the spiritual literature that I read? How does it match up with my responsibilities to my family or to my country? My community. You know, when it says I'm supposed to take the girl from the adolescent treatment center to Las Vegas and become a professional gambler, no. You know, it just might be a little bit off, right? So we can say, nah, that's not it. Okay. But if the thought is, you know, I've always wanted to, or if the thought is, my cousin. My cousin Shannon. And I should call her. And you do, it's an experiment again. You got that? I mean, you try the stuff. You follow the instructions that come down. And you'll say it's thinking and all that. Now, the group said, you know, that, well, what if I don't get anything? Well, it may be that you haven't finished the steps. We got to clear the channel. Okay? Now, you can start this. The great thing about the 11th step is you can start it at any time. But it gets clearer as we get clearer. And what the steps are designed to do is they're designed to clear the channel so that I can be available to enjoy this gift of this life. Okay? So that's what we do, is we get that stuff done. But in the instruction that's in the on the webpage, it's there are four things. There may be something I need to set right that I haven't. There may be an indulgence that I'm unwilling to give up. There may be a relationship that I'm in that's not right. I mean, why? How would that block me spiritually? So anyway, that kind of thing. I mean, so this is all really, really practical. Thank you. And we'll do that tomorrow morning. Anybody got? Yes, miss? Okay, it's the number 3.
Okay.
And then minutes, plural, of silence.
Minutes.
Of silence.org. Because we found in this 11-step group that 3 minutes is more than enough. You start at 3 minutes. I don't have enough time to meditate. You got 3 minutes. You'd be late 3 minutes to anything, right? I mean, come on. And so that's it. Yes, sir. Okay. Another question. Yes, sir.
So what, like, techniques or advice would you have? I've always had trouble, like, when I get up in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Meditation and prayer is not on my mind. Like, it's not that my mind's too busy. It's just that I don't even think of it.
Well, so what you do is you put an orange card on your door, and you go, what's that? It's the prayer and meditation card. Or you get some stupid crocheted thing at the store that says, pray and meditate. But you don't turn on the television. Like, I haven't had television for 24 years. Why is he so happy? Because I pay attention to what's in front of me. I don't pay attention to what people tell me that I'm supposed to be thinking about. I pay attention to what's in front of me. Well, isn't that sticking your head in the sand? No, I've ended up working with refugee communities in Guatemala and Belize. I've ended up all kinds of different places doing all kinds of wonderful things by just being attentive to what's in front of me. Does that answer the question? Yeah, you know, just don't turn on the TV. That's the, or you know, it's like, well, I just downloaded the entire death metal collection. Don't listen to that first. You know, I mean, it's just wait. And if you need to, you just put it on top of your phone and, okay, I'm going to do that before I get on Facebook. It's an investment. And again, it is completely counterintuitive. The third dimensional thing, or collective consciousness, is going to be screaming at you to do everything it can to keep you from rising. But you're part of AA now. You can do anything. Even that. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
If your schedules can't permit you to meditate with your partner,
uh-huh,
do you still find it effective to at least maybe try at night? Or is it kind of a day spent?
Well, that's a great question. The question is, well, my partner and I, our schedules are different. How do we do that? Well, I got goosebumps all over me. Because, I mean, there's so many wonderful things that have happened, one of which is Skype or FaceTime if you're both on an Apple product. No, just a second. Let me go. You didn't say swing shift or anything. So the thing is that spirituality can be, we know that spiritual vibration can be transmitted electronically. How do we know that? How many of you have listened to XA? Right? I mean, I get in my head and I'm absolutely confused, right, about who I am and what's going on. And I can drop an XA tape in of one of my friends and all of a sudden, my entire consciousness is different. I've been elevated. Okay? So the same thing is true. Like, when we started, we'd before they had the Skype, my wife and I would meditate. We'd just get on the phone together wherever I was in the world, and we'd meditate then. Does it have to be the morning? The morning watch, back to the question before about most spiritual teachers say start, this is the common welfare. Good job, Nick. So wake him up. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, no, he was meditating. It was deep. But anyway, the thing is that we do it over the phone. Now, the morning is when we set our consciousness up. Back to this thing about how does the symphony start? Well, they warm up, and so we warm up. So that's that. Now, if they're geographically undesirable or it's 10, always the thing is meditating. Doesn't matter when you do it. It's like kissing. Okay? I only do it at night. Okay, well, that's fine. But the thing is that in the morning, or when, say that they wake up at 11 o'clock and you're already off at work, go outside, spend 3 minutes together when their consciousness is flowering. Anybody else? Yeah. Well, just saying, anybody else but Nick? Because he's already asked. Okay, and then this will be the last one because we're gonna have a little break. Yes, sir.
You sound like my old college professors.
I am old, and yeah, okay.
All right. I guess, like, from saying, you know, from my first seminar, I realized I had negative thinking, right? Negative attitude. So, past few years, I came across like stuff like positive mantras and stuff. And I mean, I can go throughout the day and just tell myself those things, or I can read them, I can meditate on them. I mean,
well, affirmations are great. Again, pray and meditate the way you drank and used. Try stuff. Just try it. See where you end up. So what's the question?
Do I
use affirmations? No. Not particularly. It's never been... When I was newly sober, they told me to... One of the hardest meditations I ever had was standing in front of a mirror naked and saying, "I love you." That was really, really hard. It was really, really hard. I like that. This is what we call spiritual evolution. Back to the spiritual jacuzzi. But, yeah. But no. My current meditation practice right now is I have this insight timer. And I've always got some different teacher that I'm listening to. Currently, it's a guy by the name of Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N. He's got a bunch of stuff on YouTube. I find him to be fun because he's about 40 and he doesn't use medieval language. So my current thing is, and thanks for this, Nick, so that I can go to the Insight Timer. Are you guys familiar with the Insight Timer? It's an app, and it's an app that you can get for free, or you can spend, I think it's $3.99 to get the one that's... And you literally can figure out the kind of bell you like. You can set it for X amount of time. It's really fun. And I set mine to go off every 22 minutes. So every 22 minutes, this thing will go off. I don't do it when I'm leading a retreat, but it'll literally go off, and nobody knows. Well, my boss, he kind of cool, huh? And whenever I hear that, what I do is I put my hand on my heart, and I say, "I love you. Welcome home. I trust you. please forgive me for not paying attention. See, because I never had a relationship with my innocence. I'm not a child bearer, so the whole inner child thing has never really worked with me. But coming home to my innocence has been a wonderful thing. And then I ask, am I doing right now, is this for the highest good of all? Because I can be in a conversation with somebody and I hear that thing go off, and I may be talking about nonsense, third dimensional stuff, and all I have to do is change my attitude a little bit and we can elevate the conversation so that we're talking about something important instead of just, isn't it lame? Instead of, well, the other thing that I do as a spiritual practice is I try very hard, not try very hard because it's a reflex now, is that when I'm ending a conversation with anybody, asking them, is there anything that I can do for you? See what happens when you pull that one out. Because it's amazing what people will tell you. And back to the thing about writing stuff down or the like, but it's incredible what's available when you just ask. So that's the things that I do to keep my consciousness elevated instead of reminding myself or using an affirmation. Okay? Well, all right, let's go like caffeine up, get a little, you know, I think we got some speedballs out there. alcoholic speedball, donut and coffee. Thank you so very much.